In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, very sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Father.
ordained and constituted the service of angels and men in a wonderful order. Mercifully grant that as your holy angels always serve and worship you in heaven, so by your appointment they may also help and defend us here on earth. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels is from Daniel, chapters 10 and 12. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
The epistle is from Revelation, the Revelation to St. John, chapter 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God, our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter.
"Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father, for my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost." This is the Gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
The disciples ask, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" It's kind of a stupid question, which betrays the disciples' lack of understanding. So our Lord Jesus Christ does what he so often did when asked stupid or goofy questions. He launches into a mini-sermon to catechize his wayward disciples. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus calls a child to him and places him in their midst. "Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, why are you guys arguing and worrying about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But you have your hearts and minds set on earthly things rather than heavenly things. My kingdom is not of this world. It does not operate upon the principles of this world. It is not based upon some sort of merit system where those who work harder and achieve more are greater than those who don't work as hard and achieve less. Babies and little children are put forth as the example precisely because they don't do anything to contribute to their well-being or to the well-being of others, but are wholly dependent upon being cared for by their parents. Babies and little children are the example par excellence of faith because the older you get, especially when you reach adulthood, the less likely you are to be as dependent as when you were a child. Babies don't change their own diapers or produce the food and clothing they need to survive. Little children don't work for their living. So it is with those who enter the kingdom of heaven. They do so by faith alone, trusting in their heavenly Father to care for them and provide for them the salvation they need through his Son. If you think entrance into the kingdom of heaven is based on what you do, then you should just start cutting off your limbs and plucking out your eyes whenever they cause you to sin. Of course, if you want to go in that direction, you'll really just have to destroy every part of your flesh, not just your limbs and eyes, for sin has corrupted all of your flesh. And besides, it's not really your arm or foot or eyes that cause you to sin, but your heart and mind. Good luck living without your heart and your brain. Our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples that the Pharisaical way of thinking, where self-righteousness is believed to merit favor with God and earn entrance into the kingdom of heaven, is not only wrong-headed, but that it will land you in hell. It is, after all, a lie straight from the pit of hell, from Satan himself, the deceiver of the whole world. It is the same lie Satan has been telling to God's children since the Garden of Eden. You can become like God, knowing good and evil. The implication being that you do not need to rely upon or remain dependent upon the Word of God, but you can discern for yourselves what is good and bad, true and false, right and wrong, and you can live according to the standards that you set up for yourselves. You don't need God. Satan doesn't mess around. He goes right after the children of God by tempting them to break the first commandment: "You shall have no other God." For he knows that if he can get them to break that commandment, the rest are utterly meaningless. What good would it do to remember the Sabbath day, or to honor your parents, or to refrain from murdering, committing adultery, stealing, lying, and coveting, if you do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things? Zero good. Not one iota of good. The problem the disciples had is the same problem you have, O sinner. you too often think about the kingdom of heaven in earthly terms as well. There is a little Pharisee living inside each one of you, believing that entrance into the kingdom of heaven is at least somewhat dependent upon what you do. But I say to you, unless you turn and become like the little children in our midst, believing that entrance into the kingdom of heaven is solely by the grace of God, you will never enter that kingdom. Our Lord Jesus summarizes his point at the end of the gospel lesson this morning when he says, "For the Son of Man came to save the lost." The lost are those who recognize their sins and know that they are utterly dependent upon the grace of God for salvation. The lost are those who know that the accusations Satan makes against them are true, and they have no hope in themselves to be saved. The lost are those who have had all their self-idolatrous hopes dashed, who know that they are not God, but need God to be for them, and are left with no other recourse than to fall upon their faces before Jesus and cry out, "Lord, have mercy." Jesus came to save the lost. He came to save sinners. He came to save you. He came not for the self-righteous or for those who are well and don't need a Savior, but for sinners and those who are sick with sin. Have you feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things at all times? No? Then Jesus came to save you. Have you remembered the Sabbath day, always honored your parents, never been angry with your brother or sister, never had lust in your heart, never stolen or gossiped or lied or wished that you had the things your neighbor has? No? Then Jesus came to save you. It is a difficult thing to grasp and understand this thing called faith. In fact, it's not only difficult, it's impossible to grasp and understand with our sinful human reason. How can a little baby who cannot even utter a word yet believe in Jesus Christ and be saved? How can prostitutes and tax collectors enter the kingdom before the religious elites? How can that scoundrel that you know get in before you, when you are so much nicer and kinder and better than he is? The fact that these questions dance through your minds betrays you, O sinner. Repent. But what is impossible for men is not impossible for God. Faith is not an accomplishment of man, not a decision of the will, or something that you fathom in your intellect. It is rather a gift from above, a gift from God himself. That's how little babies and little children do believe, as our Lord says they do. That's how prostitutes and tax collectors get in. That's how the scoundrel that you can't fathom ever getting into heaven gets in before you. God convicts them of their sins and leads them to Jesus Christ, their only hope of salvation, through his word. He gives them faith. He gives them his kingdom. He creates and sustains that faith in them so that they do conquer sin, death, and the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, that is, their faith in Jesus Christ. They are saved the same way you are saved, by the eternal Son of God, who humbled himself and entered our world through the virgin womb of his mother as a baby, as a little child, to fulfill all the law in your place, and to be sacrificial, and to be the sacrificial lamb who shed his blood on the cross and died to atone for all of your sin. He humbled himself for you. He humbled himself to become obedient, even obedient to the death of the cross. And he rose from the dead on the third day, leaving all of your sins buried in that tomb. So that now these questions are asked: where is your accuser now, O precious child of God? Who has condemned you? What claim does death have on you now? Your Lord Jesus Christ has put an end to the accusations of Satan against you. They are no longer true of you, even though you sin daily and much, for you are clothed in Christ himself. There is no one to condemn you. Death has lost its sting and victory over you. You have life and all that comes with it. And for all of this, which we too often take for granted, the holy angels never cease rejoicing. More than that, they long to look into this great mystery of the faith. They marvel at the fact that their Lord and Master humbled himself to be born into your world to save you. They never cease being amazed by seeing the eternal Son of God, their very own Creator and yours, forever united to human flesh and still bearing the scars of your salvation. And they marvel at you as well, for you embody the mystery into which the holy angels long to peer. Baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, you are clothed in his perfect holiness and righteousness, so that when the holy angels see you, they recognize their Lord and Master. They are sent to serve and protect you. And they do so willingly and with great joy, for you are the little children who have entered the kingdom of heaven by the grace of God. And it is that same grace, dear friends, that leads you here to the Lord's holy house of prayer, where these same holy angels gather with you around the Word who became flesh, the Word who is still flesh, your Lord Jesus Christ, who still tabernacles among you. You sing with the holy angels the Gloria in Excelsis, lauding the holy incarnation of your Lord, and you join them in singing the Sanctus, the Holy, 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 as you prepare to come to the holy table your Lord prepares for you, that you might eat and drink the very body and blood he gave and shed for you on the cross, and took back from the tomb on the third day. All of this is marvelous in the sight of the holy angels. They simply cannot get enough of it. They see what's behind the veil, for that is where they exist. And what they see here, as our Lord gathers us in this seemingly insignificant place around his holy word and sacraments, what they see here in his church is nothing less than the heavenly throne room with all its glory and holiness. You too will soon see what's behind the veil too, dearly beloved little children of God. Until then, the holy angels guide you here to Christ himself, where by the grace of God you see him with the eyes of faith, believing that you are clothed in Jesus, forgiven of all your sins, and most mysteriously and awesome of all, united to him via his very body and blood, which you consume here from the holy altar. Here, dear friends in Christ, and nowhere else, here is where you are the little children our Lord talks about. For here you receive bread you have not worked for, salvation you have not merited, forgiveness you have not deserved, and life eternal you have not earned, all of which you inherit, you are given, as a precious and eternal gift through Christ Jesus, your Lord. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Rejoice, O sinners redeemed by Christ the crucified, who dwell in heaven by grace, and cry out with joy, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that all who are at odds with one another might be reconciled, and that where there is unresolvable disagreement, brothers and sisters in Christ would strive to bear with one another in love, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the preaching of the word, that through pastors, missionaries, and the priesthood of all believers, many would hear the gracious invitation of our Lord to repent and believe, and through faith would receive it with joy and gladness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our government, especially President Obama, Governor Snyder, and all our leaders, that they would work toward the common good of all people, which is found in the law written on our hearts and in the righteous decrees of our Lord, and especially that they would seek to protect the unborn and those who cannot speak for themselves. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian parents, that they would continue to devote their households to the word of the Lord and prayer, that they would bring their children faithfully to Christ's font, and that they would faithfully instruct their children in regular attendance in the divine service. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are ill, in sorrow, or suffering in any way, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, David Gursky, Marlene Miller, Ella Shaw, Bob Wendt, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Dewey, Lloyd Dewey, James Whiting, Maxine Cole, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shaw, Pastor Dan Chambers, Pastor Dave Gone, Sally Messer, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, John Leverman, Brandy Bradley, Jane Tennant, Kimberly Tolk, Katie Jacklett, Matthew Myers, John Myers, Cheryl Myers, Phyllis Ennis, and Mary Jacqueline, that they would be comforted by the Lord's promise of constant care and mercy, and for those who mourn, that they would be comforted by the Lord's promise of a reunion with their loved ones who have died in the faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the ongoing service and protection of the holy angels, that they would continue to minister to our needs and battle against the forces of evil arrayed against us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive the Lord's Supper today, that they would do so in repentance and faith, and for the whole body of Christ, that all believers would be strengthened through the forgiveness of sins promised in Holy Scripture. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, for all these things and for whatever else you know that we need, we beg you to provide. We especially give you thanks for the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has won for us forgiveness, life, and salvation. We ask all these things through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, your majesty is praised by all the holy angels and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and all the powers therein. The cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Amen.
our Lord Jesus Christ. On the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This too, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Now this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you. house at Chester.